Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. It is a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And we're very honored to have Executive Coach Grace Bowden with us here on the show as well. She's with us from Walnut Creek, California, and she's got a lot to share with us. She works with leaders, entrepreneurs, and creatives who are contributing to the renewal of our collective lives by offering innovative approaches to complex problems, shaping culture and social structures, redefining old paradigms of power and relationship, healing and restoring communities, establishing a nobler vision of what we can be together as well. Creating this new way forward requires a more holistic perspective and new skill sets. What worked in the past simply isn't enough in this critical time. Grace is highly skilled and accomplished as an executive and organizational systems coach, professional mediator, and energy worker who guides her clients to see and understand their challenges with more in-depth responses to them and with greater impact. She uses and helps her clients develop a broad range of perceptual capacities and skills for creating and shaping their contexts, in new ways. She also stresses the importance of bringing rigorous self-examination to the process by bringing awareness to limiting beliefs and assumptions. Unresolved experiences or unconscious material we tend to protect onto or project onto others around us and clear that lens of our own perception. And we can discern truth more easily in the sea of confusing information. Patterns begin to emerge and we find clarity of direction and purpose and a very important pathway to effective action. Extraordinary work she does. As I mentioned, she's joining us from Walnut Creek, California today. Let's welcome Executive Coach Grace Bowden to Close Up Radio Live. Grace, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure to have you with us and gracing us with your presence.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are very, very welcome. Let's sort of rewind a little bit and talk about, you know, your own life's journey and some of those important moments in your life, inspirations in your journey that sort of pointed you in the direction of wanting to do this kind of work when you realized you were meant to do this kind of work.
Well, like many coaches, Jim, this was not my first job out of the gate. You know, I had quite a trajectory to get here, but you know, looking back, I would say coaching is the culmination of a lifelong trajectory that began when I was a small child and had what I would call my first powerful awakening experience. And that showed me without a doubt, absolutely in utter clarity, that I was not the little pigtailed girl that I thought I was. I was not my body, this material being that I was so trained to believe myself to be, that we all are conditioned to see ourselves as. So in fact, I saw that really, even at that age, that nothing about what everyone assumed was reality was ultimately true. So that early in my life, at 6 years old, it set me on a course of trying to reconcile the experience that I had and others that came later with what the world told me about what I am and what others are, what we are as individuals and what reality is. And so over the course of several decades since then, I've looked through the lens of neurophysiology, looking at how our cognition and sense perceptions tell us about reality and who we think we are. I looked through psychology, learning a myriad of healing methodologies and approaches to integrating aspects of ourselves and realizing our highest version of who we can be. I looked through a lot of training in the development of consciousness. I began to look more collectively also because my experiences early on in each of these transformative experiences that I had in life were showing me that who and what I am as an individual and what the wholeness of life is are not different. So I became really intrigued with how we can give form to the highest expressions of who we are as individuals with one another in society and organizations and relationships collectively. So I got more training in systems dynamic, a couple of different coaching programs in conflict resolution. I got a graduate degree in public policy. So I was looking at political and organizational and institutional structures that we create to support our collective lives. So as you can see, I just took every possible perspective I could find on what it is to be an individual and also to be part of the totality of what we are. So in the end, I finally came back to the truths that were revealed to me in those early and subsequent experiences I had beyond identification with an individual self. And I saw that each one of us is a beautiful, specific expression of totality, of life as a whole, and that the precious opportunity of each of our lives is to offer that expression as purely and powerfully as I can. And so in that way, life evolves, it expresses and experiences itself more fully, and so do we as seeming individuals. So coaching is just the perfect context. Finally, at this point in my life, I found the context that is the perfect way to support that process in myself and in others so that we all individually and collectively are clearer and clearer expressions of the beauty of what we are.
That's fantastic. That's really a beautiful way to look at it and to approach it. And what a journey that you've had leading you to this extraordinary role as an executive coach. Tell us about that role. You know, some people may hear executive coach, not even really understand what it means. But then, of course, there are others out there that do this kind of work, but there's a uniqueness to your approach as well as an executive coach.
Absolutely. Coaches generally are, we're all interested in human excellence and fulfillment and people having happy lives and success and all those things. You know, I would say my particular way of approaching that has a lot to do with, you know, I take an awareness-based approach. So it means that I put a lot of attention on supporting people to do the inner work to express the power of their authentic presence, by which I don't mean all the coping strategies and fancy skills and tricks that we've learned over the course of developing our egos, but really the truly authentic, essential presence of who and what we are and the creative impact of the consciousness that we cultivate. So I have an eye always on how what we are collectively as humanity shows up in each individual and how each individual's evolution uplifts us collectively. So this is why the people who have a natural inclination to be of service to something larger than themselves get attracted to working with me. My work amplifies that natural impulse in people to know themselves more deeply, to be their own highest expression, and thereby to be of benefit to the whole of what we are. And so in coaching with me, as you mentioned in the introduction, well, you know, I also, coaching is one of the doors that people come through to work with me. I also provide transformational guidance to individuals working deeply at more personal levels. But in general, the people who get attracted to me often are leaders, senior leaders in organizations, entrepreneurs, or creatives. They're people who have naturally gravitated to experiencing their own creative power. So they may want more clarity, freedom, more confidence in their ability to create what they want. And they're willing to take responsibility for what they're creating in their lives and the impact they're having on others. So the work we do begins with perception. You know, that's the beginning of everything. What we think we see, what we understand as reality has a lot to do with how we interact with it. So the first thing we do in coaching when people bring a particular challenge or a situation to me is we work to get them the clearest and fullest perception and understanding of reality that we can. So we clear the lens that they have of anything that might be distorting or obscuring what they perceive. We get an elevated perspective on their situation, seeing whatever they're confronting in the larger cycles and patterns that it's part of, in the dynamics that are at play at different elevations of the situation. And then once we see reality fully, we explore potential responses they might make. And, you know, I offer thought partnership, candid reflections, feedback, practical tools for implementing what they perceive. So we're always helping people work just a little bit beyond what they think they're capable of. So clients are constantly experiencing more of themselves than they're familiar with. And so that way they create a way forward generally that has more impact and feels more fulfilling to them. Does that kind of do it?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It sure does. You know, again, as far as your approach, what are some of the additional ways, you know, that you are distinguished from other leadership coaches that are out there?
Oh, thank you for asking that, Jim. Yeah, when I say I take an awareness-based approach, I, of course, as I just described, I'm encouraging my clients to really look at what they can be aware of in themselves and in their context. But also because my own perception includes subtler levels of reality than the concrete and obvious, I include energy work and work in the subtler dimensions of the reality we move in to help clients address their concerns at the deepest levels that we can reach, closest to the seeds of the creation of what they're experiencing. So we can make changes that ripple out and affect many aspects of their lives and of the lives of others, with much more power and impact than if we're only working at the kind of psychological, egoic, or physical, strategic kind of levels. So there's a lot more, I think, depth and a more holistic approach when we include those subtle realms of reality. And of course, I also teach clients how to perceive and exert influence at these subtler levels. We all have that capacity, and we're just generally trained out of it. So I spend a lot of time also, not just in coaching, but also in a series of classes and workshops that I teach, helping people do that kind of more expansive perception and subtle activism, I would call it, you know, influencing levels of reality that have so much to do with the way that we hold our own presence. And so we all know people who have that kind of presence to them where they simply walk into a room and we can't even say what it is. Maybe they haven't opened their mouths to say a single word or taken a single action, but the whole room shifts just because they walked in. Sometimes it shifts in a way that's really positive and uplifting, that opens possibilities, that settles everyone down. And sometimes it's in a way that disturbs everyone and sort of limits everyone's capacity to create. How we hold our subtle presence has a tremendous impact, and before we speak or take any action, but when we're really being conscious of that and doing it skillfully so that we're having an impact before we take any action, then all the actions we take and all the words we speak have even more import and even more influence. So people are learning with me how to be, you know, I call it claiming the sovereignty. You know, we cease telling ourselves stories of victimization. We cease participating in divisive kinds of interactions. We hold ourselves in a way that settles, opens, engages, and makes more possible. So all of that is something that I think lots of coaches attend to, but the particularly distinguishing thing for me is the combination of energy work and a broad perception of the layers of reality that can help to inform the way that clients see their situations and engage with them.
Let's talk about the energy work that you do, and maybe you can define energy work for the audience and then tell us about some of your offerings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I would say energy work, there's lots of ways it can be spoken about, but a way that I think about it is the acknowledgement and awareness of the non-physical aspects of our experience. And all of us, even if we feel like we're not skilled at perceiving subtle energies, or even if we don't believe they're real, we all have had experiences, of course, when we walk into a room and we know immediately that something has just happened because we're picking up on subtle information. So energy is really just the current. It's the way that we sense information being transmitted without words, without actions, without physical interaction, but simply in a way that we can sense and pick up, and we do all the time. So energy is work. Energy work is simply doing that consciously. So we open our awareness and our perception to notice. It's already there. We're already perceiving it, but usually unconsciously. So we consciously open our perception, our awareness to notice what's going on in the subtler, non-physical, non-obvious dimensions of our experience and our interactions. And then we work with it intentionally for good. So the four things that I think are the focus of the energy work that I do with leaders and with people working to create their lives in new ways has to do first with reclaiming the sovereignty in our own being. So I spoke about that, relinquishing views of ourselves as powerless victims, you know, as being fragile, and instead claiming the power of our own presence and responsibility for our own experience, learning we can respond effectively and change our circumstances, like I said, before we even utter a word or make a move, and then everything we say or do after that carries more power. Second, it focuses on solving problems at their source rather than constantly creating and recreating the same scenarios and relationships in various forms. Everything we experience in the gross, physical, obvious, concrete level of reality has its source further down, closer to, when I say further down, I mean in subtler and subtler dimensions of our awareness. And so we drop all the way down and we learn to find it at its source, at the seed of it in our own consciousness and awareness. So we shift it there, and that's what ripples out into so many dimensions of our lives. Third, energy work helps us align ourselves with the larger pattern of life's evolution. Life supports what supports its own unfolding. So when we're in alignment with the good of the whole fabric that we're a part of, rather than fighting ego battles for me and mine, then what's good for us unfolds with ease and humor because it's also good for the whole. And that's just a whole lot more fun. And then finally, I'll say fourth, the energy work that we do with leaders is intended to amplify, and it does amplify the most noble qualities of our shared humanity, because we shift our attention to that which is highest and best in us so that we individually and collectively then can live our lives well and feel good about the world that we experience.
That's
kind of like what it's about, I guess. Yeah.
It's so vital, too, to be able to get to that point in one's life. What does embodied presence mean, Grace?
Yes, that's a phrase I use often, and there's a workshop that I teach, demonstrating practices for that. What I mean by embodied presence is that we're aware of all aspects of ourselves, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, energetically, and that we have all that awareness focused on what is happening right here, right now. So we choose to embody and express what is most essentially true, the highest of what we are, in precise response to what's happening right now. When we're in that state, we uplift and affect everyone and everything around us. So we perceive our situation accurately and therefore are free to respond in whatever way is most appropriate. Our presence then becomes, so I'll say our presence is our very way of being becomes a balancing and transformative influence for good before we even do a single thing. Everything we do and say after that is added. And I would contrast that, so the opposite of embodied presence would be the state that many of us run around in, unconsciously reacting to some unresolved thing in our past or to habitual thought patterns we can spin in or to unacknowledged emotional pain we've shoved aside. And when we're in that kind of a state, of course, we create conflict and strife everywhere we go because we're just not aware and attuned to the needs of the present moment. So from these unaware places, we're not free and not effective, contrasting with embodied presence, where we are entirely free, attuned, and effective in everything we do.
That's so important. Yeah, I think it's fantastic that you do this and it all sort of blends together in such a fantastic way. Energy work, going back to that a little bit, really is important for leaders, right? Tell us why it is.
Well, I think of a leader, I mean, oftentimes the people working with me are senior leaders in organizations, but I really think of a leader as anyone who has taken responsibility for their influence and for good. So if a person has committed to be a positive influence, then the aspects of energy work I mentioned are critical skills: claiming our own authority and the power of our presence, solving problems at their source, aligning with the patterns and forces that are working for the well-being of the whole, embodying the best of our shared humanity. If any of those is untended, we end up feeling threatened in some way and defaulting to ego strategies that we're all really well-versed in that inevitably end up misusing power and intentionally or not creating negative outcomes. So if we want to shift what we're seeing in the world right now, a critical mass of us really embodying these capacities, using energy work in the ways that I just mentioned, you know, as sovereign authorized beings responsible for our own impact, solving problems at their source, aligning with bigger patterns, embodying the best of humanity. If a critical mass of us could embody those capacities and use these kinds of skills, which are so simple and so natural for us, if we only knew that and a critical mass of us could do that, we could radically change the trajectory of some of the really painful things that we see going on in our world right now.
Oh, boy. That is something that we all definitely need pronto. And folks like mm-hmm. you that are out there on the front lines trying to make it happen, I think, is very important. In your expert opinion, what are the qualities of good leadership? I've been hearing that there's been a monumental change in how leadership is approached, meaning that it's more empathetic, compassionate. It's, mm-hmm. it's not just the boss up in the ivory tower that you never really see, you never engage with, never hear about, and you just know that the boss is up in the ivory tower. Much more engagement, listening. What are the issues? What are the concerns within the company, with the individuals? And an expression of empathy and compassion seems mm-hmm. to have found its way into good leadership from all the folks I've talked to. Is that pretty much what's been happening? And is that, from your perspective as an expert in this area, one of the good qualities of good leadership?
Yes, I'm glad you've been hearing that in your interviews. I think we are coming around to understanding that being a good leader means being a good and effective human being, which means we don't leave, you know, the biggest part of ourselves at home. We bring all of our humanity with us, and that's starting to be more and more accepted. And so leaders are starting to interact differently with the people that they lead. I would say, in again, coming from my particular flavor of it, is that whether what we're leading is a nation, an organization, a family, or simply our own decision-making in our own lives, the qualities that help the most are, first, as I said before, the clarity, accuracy, and depth of our perception. Perception is so important because it's where we start. Perception and interpretation is how we make meaning of what we see, what we think is real, determines so much about how we then go on to make decisions, to interact with other people, to respond to challenges. So that first one, clarity, accuracy, and depth of perception, is important. So that we can understand reality and interpret it with wisdom. And then second, I would say the inner stability and capacity to respond to the true needs of our circumstances from wisdom rather than a kind of unconscious reacting with egoic misuses of power is really important. And third, to be available to new information and adaptable enough to put it to use. So we're not just recreating the past again and again and again, but really moving forward. And finally, I would add to be a character worthy of the trust that's placed in us. If we have all of those qualities, and notice those are personal qualities. People don't necessarily follow leaders because they're experts or because they've been promoted to a certain level of formal authority. People follow human beings that they trust, around whom they feel peace and stability and harmony and confidence. And so to inspire those things in others, we have to be settled down in ourselves, in that state of embodied presence, seeing clearly, responding with wisdom, able to change and adapt without losing track of what matters. All of that, I think, is really important. In addition to what you're saying, bringing all of our humanity, our compassion and empathy, as well as our intellect and clarity with us as we engage with other people.
Of course, you stress the importance of bringing rigorous self-examination to the process, and by bringing awareness to limiting beliefs and assumptions and resolved experiences or unconscious material we tend to project onto others around us, we can kind of clear the lens of our own perception and can discern truth more easily in the sea of confusing information, right?
Right, absolutely. I don't think any of us is a stranger to that thought process that says, okay, what's really true here? What's happening? We're getting so much information and so much of it we don't trust. So to be able to see clearly, to perceive accurately, and to be able to discern truth. And we're never going to, I think the current times are showing us, we're never going to be able to just decide one particular news source is they've got truth and everybody else doesn't. You know, we're getting to a place where really what we've created for ourselves is an evolutionary crucible. You know, some of what's going on in the world right now that's so painful and so disorienting and that shakes us to our core, the value of it is forcing us to evolve into a place of greater discernment. Of, it's, you know, basically we need to rise above who we have been as people and what we have settled for and what we have trusted that didn't have deep roots, and instead find our way to a really clear and accurate capacity to discern truth and to respond with wisdom. So clearing the lens, these are all ways we distort our own perception. As, you know, I mentioned before some of the examples, and you've mentioned them too. You know, things that we are excluding from our awareness, things that we're denying, repressing, not dealing with, all of that stuff has a way of magnetically attracting to us more and more opportunities to finally become aware. All of this is actually a gift of our own awareness, all the uncomfortable things that we create. They bring to us opportunities to include in our awareness everything that we've been excluding. This is why I take an awareness approach. An awareness-based approach is our biggest problems come from what we exclude from awareness. And because we're not aware of it in ourselves, we project it. We think we see it in other people, and then we react to others as if they're, you know, demons or enemies. And there we are in our divisive context. So when we include in ourselves all the awareness of what we have excluded, then we are clear. We can see honestly and clearly. We can respond without reactivity. We can be effective, constructive forces for change. You know, some of that, I'm sorry, Jim.
We only got about a minute left, and I want to make sure that we definitely get in. And hopefully we'll have you back. I would love to expand further, and maybe we can hear some testimonials, case studies. But your classes and your workshops, tell us about the classes and workshops and how the leaders you work with are really benefiting from them.
Oh, and they are, Jim. Thank you for asking. I have a series of four so far, three intensive six-month classes and one weekend in-person workshop. And those are on the foundations of energy work, first, to help people reclaim that sovereignty in their field, practices for embodied presence. I co-teach with an Aikido master. That's the in-person embodiment class. Fundamentals of co-creation, about how we energetically, psychologically, and egoically create the experiences that we have and how to do that with more consciousness. And then finally, from metaphysics to mysticism is an intensive class that bridges the use of energy work as a tool with the implications it has for our understanding of the true nature of reality. So mysticism meaning not religion, but our direct experience of a creative intelligence beyond our own egos, bringing ourselves into alignment with that. So the leaders who've engaged in those classes are finding astounding results. They largely work in very high-stress, visible, often politically divisive contexts. And in the midst of those challenges, they've had experiences of easier resolution or the absence of typical conflicts and struggles, much greater intuition and clarity, guiding the complex decisions they make, more effectiveness, a more stable and effective leadership team, just much more confidence in how they're impacting others and creating conditions that they want. So it's been really astounding and a lot of fun.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Your mission is clear: to facilitate the realization of our true power individually and collectively as creators of all we experience. And only we can do this. And will we break out of the patterns that no longer work and create a better world for all of us? Well, the power is in our hands to do so. And the power is in your hand to make contact with our very special guest on Close Up Radio Live, Grace Boda. You can go to her website. I'll spell it out, GraceBoda.com. Grace, fabulous conversation. Thank you very much for sharing all of this as well as you continue to work with leaders, entrepreneurs, and creators who are really contributing to the renewal of our collective lives. And I hope we get a chance to expand some more down the line on Close Up Radio, and hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you.
Oh, I have, Jim. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. You enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks for being with us, and keep up the extraordinary work. Executive coach extraordinaire, Grace Boda, joining us. GraceBoda.com is the website. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest right here on Close Up Radio. For all of us, have a terrific day, and thanks for being with us. Talk again soon on Close Up Radio.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.